You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 8. Love never fails. Where there be prophecies, they shall fail. And there be tongues, they shall cease. But there shall be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, and I spake as a child, and I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Follow after love. May the Lord add his blessing now to the reading of this, his holy word, and this for Christ Jesus' sake. In his name we ask it. Amen. That we are privileged now to spend these few minutes in your word. And we pray for your grace in a very special way, inasmuch as the material at hand deals with the innermost, not only the innermost man, but the things of the hour. We do pray for your grace now as you sanctify us to your purpose, as you cleanse us and energize us, in order that your great Son might be honored here. At the same time, we might be built up in the most holy faith. Thank you for attending these things, Father, because we ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Our lesson today is very apropos. Consequently, we need to see the mind of God as he, through the Apostle Paul, has unveiled this book for us, because this lesson today, many decisions of life and understanding of our time will turn on it. So I pray for your indulgence and attention in a very special way. You remember that this book of 1 Corinthians were written to a carnal bunch of Christians, a people who had just come out of paganism, a people who were staled in certain traditional things. And so Paul writes for 11 chapters dealing with those carnal things at Corinth. And finally, he's almost exhausted by talking about these things. He said, there are other things you need to be dealt with, I'll deal with when I come to you. Now concerning spirituals, he listed in the 12th chapter 9 different gifts that were given to the nation of Israel, and that these Gentiles at Corinth were now sharing in these gifts as an evidence that God was working amongst the Gentiles. Because at this point in time, God was still dealing with his ancient people, Israel. And in the 12th chapter, as it closed out, in verse 31, after stating these wonderful gifts, he said, covet earnestly the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Then we have the 13th chapter where we are, and we saw last week where the more excellent way is love. Now, the carnal mind, the carnal man is attracted by the supernatural. And these certain gifts in chapter 12 are all very attractive to the flesh. Men are still going after him today. Not because they love the Lord particularly, but because they like to have attention drawn to themselves. It boosts the ego. Of course, I know you folks don't have that, but It does boost the ego, these things. If you could perform all nine of these gifts this morning, you'd be very unique, and when you walked in the door, everybody would be looking at you. And these were carnal people at Corinth. Paul said these gifts are wonderful, and for this time, they are available. But I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And in the first three verses of chapter 13, he shows them what love really is not. And then he, in chapter verse 4 through chapter 8, verse 8, he shows them what love really is. And now he begins to deal with these gifts that he talked about in chapter 12. When he says, verse 8, love never fails, but where are the prophecies, they shall fail. Tongues, they shall cease. Knowledge shall vanish away. Why? Here's the key. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect... Now, this word perfect is a little Greek word, teleos. It means to bring to fruition. In other words, when something is completed, is brought to that point. Now, when the Corinthian letter was written, the Word of God was not complete. They only had it in part. These marvelous gifts were to be exercised until that which was brought to fruition. Now, there's a twofold fulfillment here. We'll see that one has reference to the written Word of God. The other has reference to the incarnate Word of God. We're going to be looking, however, first this morning concerning the written Word. When the written Word of God is complete, notice, brought to fruition, then that which is in part shall be done away, set aside. In other words, they did not have the full picture of truth. They only had a partial. Everything was in part. Consequently, when the fullness of all truth is in, it'll be a different story, and we'll see that. Because the prophecy, the foretelling, which was in part, shall be set aside because it's not complete. Tongues shall cease. There'll be no need for tongues. The Word of God will be complete. God will have already spoken. He's not going to speak anymore. It's going to cease. Knowledge shall vanish away because they only have partial knowledge. And that's dangerous. A little knowledge is a dangerous tool. Consequently, these gifts that were being used in the interim time, they're to be superseded, you see, by the perfect knowledge. When that which is complete has come. Now, here's how to tie these words all in. Notice in verse 12, now and then. Now was in the time in which the letter was written. Then is in the time when it would be complete. See, there's twofold fulfillment here. One having reference to the written Word of God, one having reference to the incarnate person himself. Now, when the Word of God was finished, and we'll be looking at that in a few minutes, when it was complete, then the things that were of the supernatural character as to administration was to be what? Done away with. Because you'd have the complete Word of God. And when you have the complete Word of God, you walk how? By faith, not by sight. Not by what you see, but by what thus saith the Lord. Because faith cometh how? By the hearing. Not by the seeing, but by the hearing. And the hearing by the Word. Now, at that time, the prophecy was incomplete. The tongues were a manifestation that God was working in their presence. The knowledge was incomplete. But when that which is perfect, when that which is complete, when that which is brought to fruition, then that which is in part shall be what? Set aside. The compares it several ways here. Notice, when I was a child, that's when things are in part. Remember, as a child, you only learn small parts. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When you became a man, what happened? Well, you should have had a little change. Girls played the dolls when they were children. Boys played cowboy and Indian when I was a boy. I don't think they do that anymore. But I could play cowboy and Indian, but I don't think I'd enjoy it. And I don't know whether you girls enjoy keeping dolls anymore or not. But you see, these special gifts that were given as a sign to Israel, we'll see that in a minute, and particularly next week, they were a manifestation that God was working among the Gentiles as well as the Jew. But when that which is complete has come, then that which is in what? Part shall be what? Done away with. The question is, when was it complete? That we're going to see too. Now that's the written aspect of it. Now one day, however, I'm going to be brought to fruition. Complete. Because the old man is now perishing. Every day when you look in the mirror, what do you see? The old man is perishing. But then one day, I shall see him, what? Face to face. And I'll be what? I'll be like him. Because the eternal purpose of God is that we all be brought to the mature man, to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And boy, I can't see how that's possible with you fellas. But that's what the scriptures say, you know, that you're going to be brought to that. As John said, we don't know exactly what we look like, but we know when we see him, we shall be like him. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. That's the incarnate word. When we are complete, that will be ready. But we're talking this morning now about the written word. Turn with me to Colossians in chapter 1. Verses 25 and 26. Now, keep in mind that the Colossian letter, those of you studying chronology with us will understand this, was written after the book of Acts was completed. Keep in mind that the Corinthian letter was written in the Acts period. Keep in mind that God was dealing with Israel nationally. That once the Acts period was over, Israel had rejected, Paul had arrived at Rome and pronounced the verdict from heaven. Then in these prison letters, which Colossians is one of them, he writes, verse 25, "Wherefore I made a minister according to the administration of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God." Now, the word fulfill there is a little Greek word, pleremo. It means to fill it to the full. When you fill something to the full, what is it? It's complete. If you go beyond that, it's not perfect. It's imperfect. If you just come short a little bit from the top, it's incomplete. But when it's filled to the full, it's what? It's complete. When that which has come to completion is what? Then that which is in part shall be what? Done away with. Come back now to Corinthians. Now let's look at this with this these thoughts in mind. Back to verse 8. Prophecy is what? They're in part. Keep in mind the now in verse 12. We see in the mirror, verse 12, that word glass is a mirror. What is the mirror? Well, it's this right here, beloved. When you look at the mirror into it, you only see part of it because it wasn't complete. But now that it's complete, see? Now, if you look in the Word of God with the incomplete Word of God, look in it as a mirror, what do you see? You don't see yourself in the full light of what God has. But when the darkness is removed and the mirror is all clean, you look into it, what do you see? You see yourself. When you see Christ one day in bodily form, what will you see? His reflection in you. You sure can't see it now, can you? But you'll be able to see it then. Why can't you see it now? It's not complete. You're not complete. See? The key words, the notice, if you can put in your mind's eye a column of figures over here. Prophecy, tongues, knowledge, in part, as a child, now, those are all in this column. Put this column over here. Fruition, complete. Face to face. Then, not now, then. Look at the word then in chapter, in verse 12. But then. In other words, now is when it's written, then is when it's complete. Now I see in part, then I'll know complete. Just as I know that just when the Word of God is complete in written form, when I understand that completely, then I'll know in completion. When I stand before Him face to face, then I'll know Him as He really is. I only know in part now. Hence, Paul could write in the Philippian letter. What was his great passion in life? After 30 years, Paul said that I might what? Get to know Him. See? That's the point. Now, I want you to see how that changes a lot of things that's happening today. There are those who claim today they have visions and they prophesy. What does that make of them in the light of what God says? It tells me, and John says, and Paul too, try the spirits from whence they are. Because the Holy Spirit never works contrary to the Word of God. So what are these spirits that are in the world today that have these visions and make all these prophecies? Where are they coming from? These people who utter these ecstatic utterances and nonsense and call them tongues. Where are these things coming from? They are an appeal to what? To the carnal flesh, just as they were at Corinth. See? No different. The more that things change, the more they do what? They remain the same. See? Always the same. Now, this is hard to buck the tide, you see. If I had an experience of a vision, and it was implanted upon my mind, and I didn't know that I was to walk by faith and not by sight or experience, you see how easy I'd fall into that trap? Why? Because my flesh desires to get the attention. If I see everybody else talking in tongues, what's my desire in their presence to talk with them? Otherwise, I sense to be incomplete. But when I know, and I'm told, to try the spirits whence they are, then I try them based upon thus saith the Lord. What do I find? I find that their experience then, that they're telling me all about, is something I want to back away from. I remember a friend of mine. He just kept at me to go to some of these meetings. So I said, well, inwardly I thought, well, I'll just go, Lord. And so my wife and I went. I'd known this man for years. He had about 50 people in his home. Man, they were just laying there, crowded in there just like sardines in the house, you know. And so the man got up and he gave a pretty good lesson. And he got down to the end of it. All of a sudden, this fellow said, he just completely changed, and he said, "Ela, Ela, lama sabachthani." He held up his hands, and everybody in the room just went off their rocker. And I turned to my wife. I said, "You notice what that fellow said?" She says, "I can't believe it." And he quoted, of course, what Jesus cried out on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" What a testimony. And everybody in the room just, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Now, you know, in the days of Enos, it says men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And that's what the English says, but the Hebrew is, they begin to call upon the name of the Lord in the sense of profaning it. You see? We're seeing that everywhere today. There's hardly a church anywhere, beginning with that old whore, Rome, that isn't practicing these tongues today. Hardly one. You'll find it in the Roman Catholic Church. You'll find it in the Episcopalian Church. You'll find it in the Baptist Church. You'll find it in the Nazarenes. You'll find it in the Church of Christ, you find it in the Methodist, you find it in the Presbyterian, right down the line. I don't care. You have to look at that, beloved. It's kind of hard to be that critical, but that's a fact. You know why that's happened? Because men do not rightly divide the Scriptures. God says, "Show thyself." If you don't know this verse here, beloved, please memorize it, not just academically, but let it take a hold of you. This is the internal law of Scripture. If you ignore those internal laws, you're going to come up misunderstanding what God says. All Scripture is God-breathed, is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, in order that the man of God may be perfectly, completely equipped unto all good works. If it's what? Rightly divided. It must be rightly divided. That means that you must keep it always in its proper context. The things that were now, when Paul wrote this letter, are not apropos in the, concerning things as they are now, because then, when Paul wrote that, is now. And now is then. It's been reversed. See? This is why God insists, study to show thyself approved unto God. When you pick up this book, beloved, do not come to it with your own preconceived ideas. Come with an empty bucket. If you come with a full bucket, there's nothing to put in it. If you come with an empty bucket, just say, "Well, Lord, here I am. I'm like a little child," as old Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived according to the Word of God. Just a plain natural man. But Solomon said, "I'm like a little child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in." That's the way you're approved in God's sight. Study to show thyself approved in God's sight. A workman. As I've said many times, that word workman there means a common laborer. One who digs at it. Doesn't come easy. If you ever got out and dug a ditch, you know that's hard work. And if you stay in the Word of God, you'll find it's hard work. It's not easy to stay in the Word of God. The devil is always telling you about something else. You get hungry. Or you want a drink of water. Or you got an appointment. Or you're busy. me. You're missing life. Oh, he's got a lot of excuses. See, but it's hard to study a workman, to work at it. And that's why today, Christendom as such ought to be ashamed. Because as Christendom today, it is a dead issue. It is a dead issue. I listened to a stupid argument, a silly argument last night on the public television, supposedly bringing together Adam Smith, the great economist of 200 years ago, and a woman named Sanger, who died in the 60s, who in the early 20s was, I guess, the forefront of the women's movement today. Her name was Sanger. And then Mahatma Gandhi. All three of these people were brought on the stage. And the referee was Steve Allen, yeah. You know who the real smart one was there? Mahatma Gandhi. That's who they made out. And then the woman was second, and Adam Smith was low on the totem pole. See, they made it, boy, you talk about humanism being propagated by your tax dollars. And you paid for that program. Did you know that? If ever I heard the lie put over in such a smooth, it was just smooth as silk. See, it really was clever. And that's because God's people have not rightly divided the word. You see, that old lie, in fact, the matter is, Ms. Singer said, well, you have to choose your own God, you know. And that's what the world tells you. See, that's, and they do. They get their own God. That's what they get. And God is a jealous God. Most people don't realize that. They talk about God as love, you know, and he is. We saw that last week. He is love in the true sense of the word. But he's jealous, too. Love. You know, when anybody really loves, they're jealous of their own. You find a mother that's really cares for her children. She's jealous for them. She doesn't want them to be part of this world thing, if she really is. She's very careful of them. You know? She's jealous of them. She's jealous of her husband. There's nothing wrong with that. That's if it's genuine. And husbands ought to be a little bit jealous themselves. And you know, that's manifest itself everywhere you turn. These are words that are in the Bible. They're not something I pulled out of my head. And you know, God hates too. God hates. You can't love without being able to hate. This is hard for the humanist, you see, if he makes any profession in God. And Mahatma Gandhi really sold that bill good last night, I guarantee you. He really did a good job. If he had alive and been uttering himself, he couldn't have done a better job. The guy they had that portraying him did a bang-up job. See? But the Word of God, rightly divided, tears all these things to pieces. There was a little girl. Asked her mommy, said, or rather grandmother, about evolution. And the grandmother said, well, honey, said, you know, I want you to listen to these people. They say, I suppose that because of circumstances in that time, that this is the way it happened. And I presume that this is true because this fact over here and this fact brought together make it conclusive. And we've taken these different theories to prove our point that evolution is true. And that was this grandmother reading from some of these famous evolutionists in their hypothesis of things. Now she said, I want you to notice what God said. God did not say, I suppose that this is the way it ought to be done. No, God never supposes anything. God said in the beginning, He created. God said He loves you. He didn't say it with any strings at all. He said He loved you. He said He gave His Son to die for you. Not as an example, but to die for you. Because you were far away. And He wanted to bring you back in, don't you see? God never supposes anything. He makes statement absolutes. And the world today knows nothing about absolutes. Everything is gray. There's no right and wrong. Let's sit down and negotiate this, don't you know? That's exactly what they do. God never negotiates. He said, now come, let us reason together. But reason based upon thus saith the Lord, not only theories that men put up, you see. When that which is complete is come, and that which is in part shall all be done away with. That's the fallacy of knowledge, only in part. And we have the Word of God complete, beloved, today. If you're looking for God to perform some vision for you, to say something extracurricular for you, you're whistling Dixie, beloved. God has already spoken. He's not going to speak. He has spoken. Period. And He's given you the tools, the thoroughly equipment to be equipped to every good work. And here's the tools right here. And if you're right to divide it, to put it all in its proper context, God can talk to you, man to man, woman to woman. And there's no other way. If you pick out a shortcut, you're just kidding yourself. There's no other way. Has to be. You see, that's why these few verses stuck in right after that love. I show you the more excellent way, beloved, love. Not this reaching out to be exercised with the carnal. That was all right when I was a child. Today, many Christians are riding tricycles, and they ought to be flying airplanes. See? Knowledge in part, tongues, prophecy in part, are tricycles. Maturity is shooting the heavens. In the what's the plane we just launched? What's the name of it? The shuttle. Yeah, that you're getting to be. It takes man to do that. See, little children can't run the shuttle. Maybe one day they will be able to, but they can't now. They don't have enough knowledge. See, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I acted like a child. When I became a man, I put away the childish things. What were the childish things he's talking about? The prophecy in part. The tongues in part, the knowledge in part. These are childish. Now I see, if I'd been living in fall time, I could say, now I see in this mirror hazily, but then when it's complete, I'll see what? Perfectly. I want it. That will allow me to notice, I'll be known as I'm also known. See? Because as I look into it, it reflects right back. You want to find out something about yourself? You don't go to the things that men have provided. You go right here. You find out all about yourself right here. And if you really look hard, boy, you won't like what you see. See? You won't like it. But God has a provision, you see, even for that situation too. Nothing too hard for Him. Well, our time's up. We're going to have to pick it up there next week. But I want to close with these words. he began in chapter, closed out chapter 12, I show you the more excellent way. And then you have this parenthesis of chapter 13. And now 14, we'll begin next week. Follow after love. That word follow means to pursue. Pursue. To know the love of God. And you'll find it all right here. You don't have to go anywhere. You got 66 books in this library. It's the greatest research project you'll ever get into. It's complete, so that you don't have to see anything. You have to hear an awful lot. Father, we thank you that the written word has been provided. The Holy Spirit has come to guide us into all truth, to bring us to that day in fruition when we shall see Him face to face and be like Him. Realizing that the faith that you generate through love is the strength of our being and is the inspiration of the hope that lies ahead. We pray now that in that light of things, that as you prepare our heart and mind for remembering the broken body of our Lord and His shed blood, that you sanctify us as a people here this morning, that we may have perfect fellowship with you. These graces for Christ Jesus' sake, in His name we ask it. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.